Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, when we're going to go and play a clip, and this is kind of a lengthy clip, and this is from Tim Pool, and you heard with the commentary that Joe and I have given you, the Trans Day of Vengeance is coming up, and here again, this they're pushing for a civil war in this country. The entire Democratic Communist Collective is behind this, folks. Now, you folks out there listening to me, you are to protect yourself. Listen to me. Christian people, listen to me. You are to protect yourself. If any of these preachers try to tell you not you shouldn't be armed, no, that's not what God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear. Your job, you men, are to protect your families, and you parents to protect your children. And the church to protect each other. We're going to get into probably a bloody war. We don't want this bloody war unless the Lord comes back soon. The only thing that would stop this bloody war is 2 Chronicles 7:14. Just like he says, that would work. But people don't believe it. And the vast majority of people simply don't know. And the pastors haven't preached it the way they should. But anyhow, and this clip is going to bring you up a little bit, give you a little more information on the information, the text that were released. So go ahead, Style, and take her away.
I'm not one to normally opine on stories like this to a certain degree. Obviously, when there's a mass tragedy, we typically cover it to a certain degree. But now we're seeing something I didn't expect to see. For those that don't know, I'm assuming most of you do, yesterday, a transgender person, a biological female who wanted to be male, took up several weapons, shot her way into a church and school, killed 3 9-year-old children and 3 faculty members. And we now, we're getting more and more information as to the motivation and to other videos coming out about what happened. Now, I'm surprised the police have released the videos that they did, because it shows this person shooting into the building. They actually showed gunfire. They didn't show anyone dying or anything like that. We now have final text messages sent by this individual. Now, the reason why I felt like it's important to go over this to a greater degree than we may typically here at Timcast is that we are seeing a response from the left that is sympathetic to the perpetrator. We are seeing liberal commentators gloat and mock those who died. And we are seeing evidence that for a long time now, the left has been advocating for and preparing for just this. That is to say, it seems like to a certain degree, this is politically planned. There have been flyers circulating for a trans day of rage, numerous outlets arguing for trans people to be angry, and advocacy for trans people to get guns, raise their weapons, and start fighting. When all of these things come together, you have a combination of a tolerant media that advocates for this rage, an activist based advocating for these individuals to take up weapons, and then you get what happened yesterday. Now I'm all in favor of people having the right to keep and bear arms. And now we're seeing something interesting. A question that I posed a while back: should a mental illness or mental disorder, I believe it's a disorder, preclude someone from keeping and bearing arms? Most people said no, because who determines? Well, I altered the question a little bit as of yesterday and said, if an individual has a mental disorder with a high rate, associated with a high rate of self-harm, should they be barred from owning a gun? And overwhelmingly, people said yes. And that's a challenge, because the Second Amendment does not say that. However, if there is due process, then you can actually have your rights, in a sense, I don't know the right way to phrase it, is curtailed. Meaning, when you go to prison, it's because due process is determined that you are no longer you no longer have a right to be free if you seek to harm other people. Some of the messages that have been posted are rather shocking. David Pakman, effectively, basically gloating. He's a liberal commentator, gloating. But let's go over the latest details. And, you know, I'm just going to say it. This was political. It was an act of terror. The individual who perpetrated it said, one day you will understand, meaning there is a political and ideological motivation behind targeting 3 9-year-old children. And of course, now we have Newsweek, which is, I don't know, it's a threat. Maybe a threat. Let me see if I have the tweet here. I don't think I have the tweet pulled up, actually. They changed the headline. Newsweek says Tennessee Republicans ban on drag shows criticized after mass shooting. I might have the tweet here somewhere, but let's read the first story from the New York Post. Nashville school shooter Aubrey Hale sent a friend a chilling suicide note minutes before slaughtering 3 children and 3 adults, writing, "I'm planning to die today." Hale, 28, messaged Averiana Patton, her former middle school basketball teammate, on Instagram at 9:57 a.m. Monday, News Channel 5 reported. "So basically, that post I made on here about you, that was basically a suicide note. I'm planning to die today," Hale wrote, using the name Aiden, according to messages Patton gave the outlet. Now, one thing I really do find interesting is that they're misgendering this individual without question. They just this one time they don't care. Let me see if I can. So apparently that's not. Let me see if I can reload this. I'm going to have to implement an image blur. They're misgendering this individual. They're saying it's a woman. They're not saying trans person. They're just outright ignoring the fact that this seems to be a principal motivation. "This is not a joke," wrote Hale. "You'll probably hear about me on the news after I die. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you again in another life." "Audrey," Patton replied, "you have so much to live, so much life to live." Now, this Averiana apparently called the police and told them about this. And the police did not respond for hours. And if they had, this probably would not have happened. So there's an image of the messages. In response, Hale wrote, "I know, but I don't want to live. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to upset you or get attention. I just need to die. I wanted to tell you first because you're the most beautiful person I've ever known in my life." She says, "My family doesn't know what I'm about to do. One day this will make more sense. I've left more than enough evidence behind, but something bad is about to happen." So the Metro Nashville PD has posted some images and a video. I'm surprised they actually did. And then we have this interesting phenomenon. Newsweek: Tennessee Republicans ban on drag shows criticized after mass shooting. Excuse me? You're saying that groomers targeting children, sexualizing them, and these medical surgeries on minors being banned resulted in a terrorist shooting up a school and church, killing 3 9-year-olds as well as 3 faculty members. And the news is criticizing their law. Let's try it another way. Let's say there is a group of people who are selling booze to children. And so we say, we are going to make it illegal to sell booze to children. So that group then gets a bunch of guns and shoots a bunch of kids. Why would you then say we must criticize the law banning the sale of alcohol to children? No, you'd say these people are psychotic. It was probably right to ban these things. The celebration of this ideology exemplified by Newsweek and so much more. Jack Posobiec posted this. "Trans community activist posted this 2 days ago. It is a trans flag that says nobody is coming to save us. Siblings, pick up your weapons." And we have this. Will Chamberlain posts a Teen Vogue article. March 31st, 2021, on Transgender Day of Visibility, it's time to finally stop policing trans rage. They say when Grimm started taking hormones as a teenager, he says people used his testosterone as a scapegoat anytime he lost his cool, claiming that testosterone was causing his outbursts rather than legitimate feelings. "It would piss me off like nothing else in the world, because here's this life-saving medication. And dare you say that my emotional dysregulation could have anything to do with that?" Well, it does. Testosterone makes you more aggressive. Guys grow up with it. But for someone who's, I mean, look, guys grow up with testosterone and they're yelled at for behaving certain ways. You take someone who's not been exposed to this degree of testosterone, you pump them full of it, and they get angry. The Simpsons had a joke about it. I think it was Martin was like, they've put me on testosterone and now I just want to fight everybody. Yes, that's what it does. It increases aggression. Now, the interesting thing here that we can see in these stories is that we know there's SSRIs, there's these pharmaceuticals and hormones being pumped into young people, and it's going to increase instability, mental instability. They are telling people in the media that trans people are being threatened, that people are trying to kill them. It's the rhetoric of the left. When you say something like, there should not be sex shows for children, they say, that's genocide. I'm not exaggerating. They post this online. So what would happen if someone truly believed that was happening? You get this. And that's the scary reality of what's going on. Tucker Carlson talked about it, and he got criticized for it. LGBTQ Nation writes, Tucker Carlson is afraid gun-toting trans people will start political violence. Quote, they want to be able to commit it, and they want you defenseless so you can't fight back. Friday, March 24th, 2023, this was written. And only a few days later, Tucker Carlson was unfortunately proven correct. This is a scary reality of where we are. Fox News host Tucker Carlson has claimed that NPR is overhyping anti-transgender violence to encourage the trans community to arm themselves with military-grade weapons. As proof, he pointed to a recent NPR segment about Rainbow Reload, an LGBTQ plus gun club based in New Hampshire. The segment mentioned how mass shootings targeting LGBTQ spaces and a rise in anti-trans rhetoric have inspired some queer people to take up arms. Carlson considers this hypocritical because he believes NPR is solidly anti-gun. Tom Fitton tweets, a leftist professor at Wayne State University in Michigan has been suspended with pay after publishing a Facebook post calling for the murder of conservative campus speakers. I don't think I can show you what he said. He directly says to do things. He directly tells people, this is where we are. I wonder, is this just another blip? Is this just static? Is this just noise? Or have I unfortunately been right? The political faction's rhetoric is increasingly getting more and more dangerous, namely on the left. Liberals are gloating and celebrating. I have this archive from David Pakman. I can only see as there's an increase in callousness, anger, and calls to violence, that things like this will escalate. I don't want them to. I want to mind my own business. I don't like the idea of having to be armed. But that's the nature of reality. Now, for me, living out in a rural area, you're armed not just because you're worried about people, though people can be dangerous. I'm actually substantially less worried about people than I am wild animals, you know. So, you know, coyotes and the chickens and things like that. We had a bear come by here a couple times, which is shocking because must have been starving. The deer are looking fairly gaunt, but the deer are looking better these days. Hopefully the animals don't become desperate, but a bear tried to break into our first chicken coop. And I don't know what you do about a bear, because, I mean, we got some weapons, but woof, it's a big bear. It was a big feller. Don't know exactly how big. I don't know. I don't know what kind of bears we got out here. I think it was maybe a black bear or something, which is scary because those things can be vicious. But to come on to our property, which is, you know, blacktop asphalt and concrete, out of the woods, it must have been hungry. It must have been desperate. Tried ripping it open. It couldn't do it because we secured it pretty well. I'm glad the chicken survived. That's what I'm more worried about. That being said, with the increasing political attacks, the idea that someone would go into this Christian school and just shoot it up. You know, I'll say this. It's possible this manifesto comes out and it's not completely political because this was a targeted attack. This individual went to that school. So it's entirely possible that information emerges where the student says something like that the teacher slapped my wrist or something. They were abusing kids. I believe it is probably more likely it has to do with religious indoctrination because that's what we're seeing them tweet. We're seeing these people on the left tweet that the schools are indoctrinating kids with this religious stuff. The funny thing is, that's actually what's happened to them. Completely. Here's what David Pakman said. Very surprising that there would be a mass shooting at a Christian school, given the lack of prayer is often blamed for these horrible events. Is it possible they weren't praying enough or correctly despite being a Christian school? No one ever claimed that lack of prayer is what's causing mass shootings. Now, okay, I'm being hyperbolic. I'm saying typically that's not what people are saying. When a shooting, a tragedy happens, people are saying thoughts and prayers. I am keeping you in my thoughts and in my prayers. They are saying that I am worried for you. I care for you. And I'm wishing you well and good things. I'm hoping for you the best. That's it. And the left is mad because they're like, we got to ban guns. But banning guns doesn't change anything. Just the other day, there was a story. I think I can't remember. Was it Australia, maybe? Or where? I don't know where. A guy took a knife and went on a stabbing rampage, killing people in a school. And they couldn't stop him until the police came with a gun, just like here. One person responded, I see the point, sir, but this tweet isn't really appropriate. And he said, is it more or less appropriate than Republicans offering prayers and nothing else every time there is a shooting? No, they offer more than that. They offer mental health screenings. They offer arming teachers and providing armed security at these schools. The problem is the left intentionally blockades these things. Because there's only one thing they want, and there's one thing they know they can never get, which means the problem never gets solved, and that is to ban guns. You can't. You can't ban guns. The Second Amendment exists. So they try and do things like banning. Here's what happens. The Democrats will be like, we're going to ban extended magazines, anything more than, and then they insert a ridiculously low number, which is not an extended magazine. We're going to ban anything with more with 10 rounds. You don't need it, which is low capacity, very, very low 10 rounds. Like I got a shotgun that holds more than that. And typically when you buy a rifle, it can hold 30. Even Glocks, the gun used by police holds 17. But the point is they know their demands are outrageous, likely will accomplish nothing because they want the problems to persist so they can campaign on them. Because we could solve these problems overnight. Mental health screenings. That's a big one. I don't know exactly know how we got to be careful with that, because one of the issues is, you know, the government just making claims about someone's mental health to deny them their right to keep and bear arms. So ultimately, the solution seems to be more guns, not less. The solution seems to be people having the ability to defend themselves from psychopaths like this. It's really amazing. One person said, dude, come on, I'm lib, and this is cringe to me. It doesn't seem like the thought a bright man would have. You mock the faith of slain children. Ultimately, David Pakman did delete this tweet. He took it down. Look, it's no secret that I think we are either in or heading towards a civil war. Jane Fonda, this is from Lauren Witzke. Jane Fonda and The View supported the idea of murdering Christian pro-lifers this month. They giggled like the wretched hyenas they are. Now that they have blood on their hands, do you think they will hear apologies? Jane Fonda called for murder of pro-life individuals, and they all chuckled and said, no, she's joking, she's joking. And then she rolls her eyes and then looks down. She wasn't joking. She wasn't. If she was joking, she'd be like, okay. No, she looks disappointed. Let me show you. I mean, I don't want to play it because... Because I think, you know, YouTube will have a negative reaction. But she outright says it. They're all shocked. They laugh. Ha ha, she's joking. And then she makes this face. That's the face she made when they were like, she's just joking, right? She looks at them. And then she looks down. And she looks disappointed. She's almost frowning. She's serious. These people are serious. Man, there's so much more. Michael O'Fallon tweeted this. Groups such as Rainbow Reload and other LGBTQ communities have experienced a tremendous surge in gun purchases and firearms training over the last 3 years. The spike has been caused in part by the rhetoric within their communities that Christian nationalists and the far right will be coming for their rights and their jobs. Meanwhile, conservative Christian affinity groups have been inflamed by increasingly violent rhetoric, replacing Here I Am, Lord, Send Me with Deus Vult. The fracturing of America by divisive rhetoric and propaganda is now in fifth gear. Both ends will be played against the middle. Welcome to the effects of the long strategized big sort. Violence and retribution will now come from identity groups not normally associated with violent actions. Discussion will cease. Blame and rhetoric will increase. The Christian community resisted the siren song allure of giving the Balkanizers drag queen Floyd. What most didn't realize is that the same sort of they coming to get you rhetoric is being poured into siloed LGBTQ plus communities. At the same time, the propaganda is being poured into Christian communities. So might I suggest stepping back a few steps and realizing what is being done to all of us? Yeah, I get it. But stepping back means nothing. What you have is
Already. There you go, Joe. They're doing exactly what they've always done. Always accuse the opposition. And so they're blaming Christians, okay? And what do we do? They hate us. We don't hate them. We know what their future is going to be like. And this is why we try to tell them, repent or perish. This is why, you know, we encourage them to walk away, to get away from that sinful life. But again, the devil's out there. And here you've got these apostate United Church of the Antichrist. Again, they're virtually satanic churches. So that's what's happening here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like I mentioned way earlier in the one article, the one former FBI special agent that studied the psychology behind all this was talking about this sexual identity dysfunction. It's a psychological confusion. It's a mental illness. And we have the rest of the world, really, the other countries you look all over, they are promoting a form of mental illness. And this is kind of like COVID, the vax. It's being put upon our children. It's like they sold the poison poke. It's going to keep you from getting COVID. No. It's, you know, all the stuff, there's no side effects. Wrong, lie. And we're back to the same thing. This whole trans thing is about money and power. They're setting up these clinics across the country. They're selling drugs, the medications, all these different therapies. It is all about making money. So we're killing our children because there are some people who are making money over killing the children's lives.
They're getting $120,000 per mutilation. $120,000 per mutilation. This is again, the Democratic Party collective is what they're doing. These so-called surgeries, what they call surgeries. These are mutilations. $120,000 per mutilation.
Well, and there, the other, just one really got me, one article I looked at. It was on actually Fox News, and it had videos. Drag queen straddles girl at North Carolina public school. And it's on a video. And we know that drag star RuPaul has come out and talked about the drag queens are the Marines of the queer movement. See, notice queer, because drag queens are sodomites. Okay, so here, this is a sodomite. This video was out there, this drag queen straddling a young girl doing a lap dance. And this is at a technical school where the students start 14 to maybe 17 in the school. And they had two of these, you know, there, and they were big festival where they're, you know, advertising free food, drinks, music, activities. They're making a big party out of it. They've got the United Church of Christ was there, of course, you know, the Church of the Antichrist. And it goes on and on and on, folks. When are people, I just wonder if the lives of our children and grandchildren are not important enough for us to, as a nation, to wake up and fight for, we don't have much left to fight for, do we, Pastor Ernie?
Well, you know, the point of it is, this is the time we place up crowns in heaven. There's never been a better time in all of history to place up crowns. Look, the day is coming when we're going to leave this planet. If the Lord comes back soon, if it takes the church out, or if not, we're going to die. And when we do, we're either going to go to heaven or hell. I mean, the Bible says it's appointed all men once to die and then the judgment. And this is where you've got your Bema Seat judgment. This is what is referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the time where God has raised us up for this time. Now, we have two options. Either run to the battle, okay, and give it everything we've got. We've done that in this ministry for 50 years from day one. I can honestly say we've never given it less than what we have. We weren't perfect. We made a lot of mistakes probably along the way. But we always gave it our best. We always fought with the best we had. And that's what we're still doing out here now. But see, we understand this.
And we're not doing it for money. We're doing it to serve, try to be obedient to our Lord. I just want to remind the listeners that in the 48 years you've been on the air, or whatever, close, I'm not sure exactly.
It's 50 years now, yeah.
50. Okay, no one has ever taken a dime in money that's worked with you in all that time. And we all donate our own, put a lot of time into this, our own what talent God has given us, and our own treasure. And so we are really the diametrically opposed to the rest of the world. They're making money on all these things. We are fighting it without trying to make any money for ourselves. It's not about us. It truly is about preaching God's word, warning the people, being the watchman on the wall. And this is one of the greatest dangers I've seen to the nation in my entire life. The enemy within, we've been told by people all the way back, Lincoln, others, that an outside force could never conquer America, but we will be destroyed from within. And I think of four or five great people that agreed with that concept. And here we are in the middle of a communist revolution, a communist takeover of this country, and we still have people who refuse to believe it's a real literal physical war, it's a spiritual war, and it's really happening. And they keep thinking, oh, it, you know, it'll just go away. Well, it's not going to go away. It's only going to get worse if the people let it happen.
You know, Joe, we're living in such a time like this, too. I had two people, two reporters that worked for local stations, and they came to me. One came to me twice just to tell me that he believes in what we're doing. He listens to me. But he said if my boss, if they knew that I was here at your house, because he called and asked if he could stop by, if he even knew that, I'd get fired. I would be fired if they knew that I was even talking to me. Yeah. Another one who came, he was ready to leave and go to another station in Florida, so he didn't care. And he came and said, "I just want you to know that. Listen, you know, I know that I work for the secular news station, but I believe I'm with you all the way." And again, if they even said that. And there's a lot, I think there's probably a lot more of them, too, recently being, you know, in the hospital, you know, for my surgery. I talked to a lot of the people that worked in the hospital, and they're like us, they're totally against the kill shot, they're totally against the vax, they're totally against wearing the mask, they hate these things, and they know it's all a bunch of just, you know, ways to try to control, you know, control people. And so, so there, you know, there's a lot more of that going on too than we think. But we're up to a break. When we come back from the break, boy, there's a whole lot of stuff we got to talk about. So we'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away.
Read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. with all these things now happening before our eyes. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun? Hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall from east to west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Gird up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings and Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to open the phone lines to take some calls here in just a minute at 4 that's 888-677-9673. I almost gave out the wrong number. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to open the phone lines here, are now open. But now, Joe, I wanted to say, I've got this article here. Remember Obama's death panels. Yeah, I remember Obama's death panels. Medicare now using algorithms to deny coverage to people deemed expendable. No longer are actual human doctors making personalized decisions in patient care for elderly people on Medicare. Instead, artificial intelligent robots are deciding who lives and who dies. The inevitable outcome of Barack Hussein Obama's infamous death panels, AI-driven medicine is fast becoming the norm, not only for serious, but for everyone.
Seniors, yeah.
You know, if you are on Medicare, beware. Things are getting uglier by the day in terms of being an absolute Orwellian nightmare. Take the case of Frances Water, 85-year-old Wisconsin woman who, with a shattered left shoulder and a respiratory condition, who was forced out of her nursing home by algorithm that decided she only needed to stay for 16.6 days. On day 17, her Medicaid Advantage Insurer Security Health Plan cut off payment to her care in accordance with the algorithm, even though she was not yet healed. Walter was forced to return home to her apartment where she lives alone. This despite medical notes dating back to June 19th to show Walter's pain was extreme and she could no longer dress herself or go to the bathroom or even push a walker, without assistance. Well, there you go. Now, here, folks, this is why what I'm...
We're going to get rid of the useless eaters, remember? Nazi Germany? We got useless eaters.
Joe, this is why people... When I went in for my surgery, they give you... They take a little poll there, and they ask you a questionnaire. The last question they asked is... the last one was how much fear do you have? They asked, what medications are you on? And when I told the lady, Kathy, the nurse, that I'm not on any, again, she said, at your age, you're not on any medications. I said, no, I take natural herbs. God made them. She says, again, and my wife was there. My wife says, he's not on any medications. He won't take any. He takes natural herbs. And she said, boy, I wish I could do that. I said, you can, you know. But anyhow, this is why I'm telling people, you see, it's good to understand what kind of herbs are used for what. This is why I've been telling people, now would be a good time to call Apothecary Herbs, to call Wendy Wilson, and get that catalog. Because, again, these are medicines. These are all natural medicines that she has. And that number is... Now, they're not cheap, folks. They're not cheap. But they're cheaper than most of the drugs you're going to get. But look, Big Pharma, Pharmakia, which is witchcraft and wizardry, gives you the drugs from the drugstore. Here, God gives you the natural herbs. So, just think about that. Now, Wendy's phone number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. And she's expanding the sale on most all of her herbs until the end of this month, till the 31st. So, anyhow, there you go. Let's take some calls. Who do we have? Let's go out to New Jersey. And we have Bill in New Jersey. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you so much. I want to tell you a short story about what happened to me with those stupid vaccines. Because I have asthma, because I have no option, I went to my doctor and he told me, well, if you don't take it, you might not survive. And I was dead against it. But they convinced me and I took the shot and now I'm worse. My neuropathy is worse and it's horrible. I'm living a horrible life. But I also wanted to point out Matthew 7, judge not. He be not judged, and that's what these people are doing to us. Why are they continually judging us on TV, on all the media, for judgment ye be judged, ye shall be judged. And with that measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And I also, being a retired teacher, I also wanted to say, I don't want you to take this personal, but if the word is abominable.
Everybody. Well, what that verse means there, Bill, is he's telling you, he's not telling you not to judge. He's telling you, if you keep on reading, he'll say, but when you do judge, judge with a righteous judgment, meaning not to hold others up to higher standards. But the answer to your question is found in Genesis 3:15, the very start there, where he's talking about how you're going to find that here... We are at war with the world. The seed of the woman, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, his seed, are going to be at war with the seed of the serpent. And that's what's happening. The church is at war with Satan's church. The church is at war right now with Satan's church. Just like we're at war with that church right there in Chesterland, that's a satanic church. Now, the so-called Community Church of Cheslin. Like I said, if a new sin was invented tonight, they'd have it in their, probably have it in their articles of faith by tomorrow. And so...
I'm sorry. It's still judgment, though. They're still judging.
Well, the judge... Well, yeah, but you see, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and read the last verses in that, and do you know what you'll find out? Their judgment is... totally worthless. It's meaningless. But thanks for calling, my friend. Let's go out to San Diego. We have Jack. Jack, you're in the air.
Okay, I got something different for you tonight. What would your response be to those that say circumcision is genital mutilation without consent?
What would my response be to that? That's, no, I don't think so, because we know that circumcision has a lot of health benefits. It benefits, and I've never heard of anybody, okay, at all, who was ever disfigured by circumcision. Now, also, you know, circumcision was practiced. God gave us that institution of circumcision, okay? And so, again, this is why we get circumcised. For males, it's actually a sanitary thing.
But it doesn't change your sex. It doesn't. You're not missing anything. You're not sterile. Like some of these other procedures, these children get sterilized. They are infertile. Circumcision has never caused the man to be infertile.
Now, circumcision was given for men or males, okay? For males, not for females. And what happens is when females are circumcised, which that is a form of mutilation, you see. So there you go. Thanks, Jack. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're in the air.
Oh, Pastor, just briefly, quick comment concerning this situation with this killing that took place in Tennessee.
Murder.
What have you. It seems that there's been more concentration on the so-called gender or lack thereof than the actual situation that took place.
Well, that's true, but here's the reason for that, Ed. The last five shooters in a row have been people that are trans things, these so-called either men that thought they were women or women that thought they were men, okay? And so, yeah, now this is the first one that was an actual female who thought she was a male. The others were males that thought they were females. So,
yeah, I mean, but the bottom line is this. I mean, it's to the point, regardless of what you think you are or what you might be or whatever the case might be, I think it's sad that the media would be reporting on something, a side issue, rather than what actually happened. And it's to the point that if you want to go into the background of, you know, all these things, then, you know, that's fine, but it confuses the issue to me when you start talking about trans this or that when people can't even define what it is or don't define what it is. And I know I'm not sure what it is. I mean, if the most important thing is to be the actual event.
The reason it confuses you is because that's exactly what it is. It is confusion. It's a delusion, you see. See, God only made two genders. He only made two. He didn't make all these other things that they have out there, you see. And so if you understand the Word of God, you're not confused. You understand that what it is the simple-minded. These are people that get confused. They're many of them by wicked, evil people within the public fool system, for example, within the deep state, the Democratic Communist Party. And they start working on these young people who are vulnerable. And one of the major problems you have, they're easy to pick off, is because today there's so much divorce and so many homes that have no fathers in it. And that makes it much, much worse when there's not a father in the home. It makes it much easier to confuse these people And that's exactly what's happening. All right, there you go. Thanks, Ed. Let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, Pastor Ernie and Pastor Joe.
Hello, AC.
Something real interesting that I just came up with. You mentioned Element 41 earlier in the show, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now, do you know what the 41st element is in the periodic table?
No.
By chance. Okay.
No, I don't.
It's an element called niobium, and it's the 41st element, and it was named after a woman named Niobe from Greek mythology, okay? And just below that element is another element called tantalum, which was named after King Tantalus from Greek mythology. So Niobe was the daughter of King Tantalus. Now, King Tantalus was given a judgment, and his judgment in the lower world in Greek mythology was eternal hunger and thirst. He was doomed to stand in water that always receded when he tried to drink it, and under branches of fruit he could never reach, all right? And you probably would deduce that that's where we get the word tantalum, right?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
It's from Greek mythology, the word tantalize. And the definition of tantalize is to promise or show something desirable to a person and then remove or withhold it, arouse hope, and then disappointment in or tease. Well, that's exactly what's happening with this transitioning that they're promoting from one gender, one sex to another. It's a promise of liberty, but there's no liberty. It's they show something desirable to make these young people want to do this, even to the point of mutilation, but then what hope do they have? They have no hope. And think about this now, a person who drops into hell, all right? And if they were a smoker or an alcoholic or they fornicated, whether heterosexual fornication, homosexual fornication, they have a craving for those things while they're alive, correct?
Correct.
Well, in hell, they still have those cravings. They can't satisfy them for all eternity. I mean, it's horrible. And people that don't get delivered through the blood from those cravings while they're alive here on earth will face those cravings for all eternity in hell. And that's something to think about for people.
Yeah, that is. There's a lot of other things in hell that for them to think about, too, like a worm that never dieth.
Yeah.
A lot of horrors.
It's eternal death. It's an eternal flame, a literal burning hell, and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
All right. Hey, Joe, what do you think? Should we give AC the opportunity to give the invitation?
If he'd like it, yeah.
Well, what do you think, AC? Are you up to it?
Well, how much time do I have?
4 minutes.
Okay. Tell me when to start.
Now. Go right now. Yep.
Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for the blood that was shed for our salvation. And God, I pray that people would recognize the blood and honor the blood, because it's through that blood that eternal life is provided. God, you've warned us about things to come. You've warned us about a 7-year tribulation period that will begin in not too much time. And it will be the most horrible time on planet Earth. It'll be an hour of temptation. You promised the Church of Philadelphia, the only one of the 7 churches that was given a promise of the rapture, that they would be kept from the hour of temptation that would come upon the whole earth. Jesus warned about a snare that would come upon the whole earth in Luke chapter 21, that those left behind would not be able to escape. And after the rapture takes place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And God, I pray that you'd move upon the listeners to take seriously the what exists at the end of this life. If they're not heaven-bound through the blood, then they're going to be hell-bound without the blood. And the cravings of their sins will never go away. They will eternally be craving whatever sin they have now. And God, you're giving us an opportunity for those that are alive on planet Earth now that have the option to die in Christ, or those who will be alive at the time the rapture takes place, to be on the one flight out. And being on the one flight out would be the greatest privilege that can be offered to mankind, because it includes not only the privilege of eternal salvation, but the chance to escape death. And God, I pray that pastors and listeners would realize that they would get a reality of the rapture, a reality of heaven and hell, that they would go to your word, go to what Jesus taught concerning hell, concerning the tribulation period, because Jesus clearly taught a pre-tribulation rapture. There is no other kind of rapture but a pre-tribulation rapture. And God, I pray that people would be prepared for the times ahead, whether it's the end of this life or the consequences of rapture day. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's right. You see, again, like not everybody believes. And you hear people say, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I don't necessarily believe that. I you know, you're going to. You will. The time will come. I've had others tell me, well, you know what, when I get to the point where I'm about to die, then I'm going to look at that religion. But you don't choose that point. That's not your call. When you're going to die, that's not your, you don't know when that's going to be. And boy, you're taking, it's like walking on a tightrope over a lake of fire. So, folks out there listening to us tonight, like he said, tonight is the accepted time. You might not have tomorrow. Let me tell you, down there in Mississippi, a lot of people went to bed, went to sleep, and then they never woke up in this life. A tornado came in, and they were gone, and they were sleeping when they were taken out. And folks, you believe me, between now and this time tomorrow, hundreds of thousands of people will perish, and most of them have no intention of dying. So until tomorrow, we say good night. God bless, and always, bless. Always
keep
fighting the fight.
Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.